pray as we get into the Word. Okay. Father, we thank you that we can boldly come into your presence. We thank you that we come with an expectation to meet with you tonight, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, that we can not only come to hear somebody's opinion or chat about some things, God, but or attain knowledge, God, but that we can come with an expectation to meet with the living God, that we come with an expectation to be transformed in your presence, God, that your word is alive and powerful, Lord, and at work in and through us. Father, and we come and consecrate this time to you, Lord, and we ask, Holy Spirit, you come and teach us and direct us and mold us and shape us, and that you'd establish your kingdom in and through us today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And come as the shepherd tonight, Lord. Come as the shepherd and direct our path, Lord, and steer us in the way that we should go, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read a very well-known Psalms 23. If you want to read with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, something we're very familiar with, something that's been a blessing to many in tough times. And this afternoon, I want to touch on a few points here, and I want to look at different aspects of what God is revealing about himself and his heart towards us. And then also how we experience that in a practical way. Now, firstly, let's quickly scan through it and let's just lift out a few things that we see here. Promises, things that we have experienced the shepherd to be. Firstly, we see, I shall not want. We see that he is our provider. We see he brings us into, you know, places of rest and peace and green pastures where there's provision on many levels. We see, again, it makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters, and then he restores my soul, and then again he leads me. So we see restoration happening, but we see also lots of leading happening. Okay, we see shepherd guiding and directing. And then we see that element of protection, that no matter what we go through, no matter what valley we find ourselves in, no matter what dark place we find ourselves in, we see the shepherd right there. That we fear no evil. And then, but interesting there, not only is there protection, the rod and the staff, but there's a correction element as well. There's a, you know, defending us and protecting us element, but there's also a correcting one. You know, kind of as we saw last week, he corrects those he loves. He, as like a father does, he disciplines those he loves. And then we see a celebration, a victory of victories, a celebration of overcoming in the face of our enemies. We see this kind of him rejoicing over us and rejoicing with us. And now, in terms of practically, how do we, from day to day, how does this pan out? You know, how do we experience it? How does it work? And if we look at the context and what God has designed for us, we experience, you know, even before we know, come to know God, God's design for us is to experience his heart in these specific aspects of who he is, to experience that in a family environment, in a physical family environment. Even before we get spiritual, before we come to know Christ, his design is for each of us to grow up in a safe family environment where we can experience and get to know these aspects of the shepherd in that environment. And as we all know, this is one area where the enemy has had, you know, lots of, you know, we've seen the area of, you know, the family, the nuclear family in society under attack. So the design that God had is not necessarily the norm at the moment. In fact, it's not. Okay, So we know that, but we know that that was God's design. But then, a step further, once we come into relationship with God, there's also a specific place that He has prepared for us to experience Him as the shepherd. And that, if we can call it the local sheepfold, or the local church, or the local body, what do you call the, you know, what the place where they put sheep in England? A pen. Yes. Okay, I come from, they call it something else, but that's fine. So the local sheepfold, whatever you want to call it, that's what He has designed for us. That place where we can experience these incredible blessings and promises that David talks about here. But now, and we know this is the design of the shepherd, chief shepherd, okay? And I just want us to look a little bit at these different aspects. And now the first thing we must get here, and that's something that I suppose we can do often in life, but just to find ourselves at the place of confidence in God our Father, Jesus, the chief shepherd of the sheep. To a place that we know, okay, He is the shepherd, and He is indeed the shepherd that lays His life down for the sheep. Okay, so we have seen the demonstrated, but that is where our confidence comes in when it comes to putting our trust in what He has put in place for us. So whether it is the family unit, if you don't come from a perfect family, then what I want to say to you is put your trust in God that your family will show and will display the heart of the shepherd in the way maybe that you haven't grown up with. But put your confidence in the chief shepherd. And the fact that He is, if you're a dad or going to be a dad one day, or if you're a parent or a brother or a sister or a child, somebody's child, I think I've covered everybody. You know, if you're part of a family, put your trust, put your confidence in the chief shepherd to know that He has made provision for those elements to be present in the home, in your family. If you're the head of a home, God has anointed you, or if you're a parent, or if you're married, or if you're going to be married, whatever the situation might be, God has prepared and He has made provision for physical provision. Whether you are the head of the house or the provider, know that God has anointed you to stand in that role as provider. That it's maybe, it's not something we look to our skills for, it's not something we look to our experience for. It is something that we walk into, that anointing of God, as we step into that role. And I've experienced that in such a powerful way. A friend of ours mentioned that, when children are born, they're born with a bread under each arm. Because, it's people always say, no, we can't have children now because we can't afford it, type of thing. And if you carry on like that, you'll never have children, I suppose. But, just the knowledge that as God blesses us with offspring, His provision comes along with them. And in any other way, it's the same. Some guys are putting off getting married or whatever because of this and that. Obviously, you must make your sums and prepare. But know that the provision, God's provision is there for the path that He has prepared for us. And the same way, His guidance and His direction in a family, in a home, His protection is there through the parents, through the head of the home, through the covering that is over that house. In the same way, your authority over your area, over your house, or your physical place where you live, and also your family, comes from the fact that we have a confidence in the chief shepherd, and the confidence in who He is, and the confidence that He indeed lays His life down for us, for the sheep. Are you with me still? Secondly, let's continue on that for a moment. We see in that same way that we can trust in the protection of God in our home, over our family. That's where we need to step into that place of, okay, not only are we called to shepherd, to kind of disciple our children, to disciple us, to, you know, to kind of keep each other accountable in the family environment. But we can, again, we look to the Father, we look to the Chief Shepherd to direct us in how we do that. Even in the difficult bits, the correction bits, even in the celebration, in the growing, in the growth bits as well. And we pull it over again to the spiritual family. And this is something I feel for us as a church that we have to grow in, that I believe God's going to take us into. And is that kind of a place where we, again, we look to the Chief Shepherd and we realize, okay, not only do we have God, Jesus Christ, the Chief Shepherd of the sheep, okay, praise God for that, we know He's the Chief Shepherd, but we have other shepherds, other people in authority, people that have authority over us, people that, you know, each of us sitting here has got some area where you are leading someone or you are kind of in a role that you are able to shepherd someone else. So this is one of those, you know, the uncle always likes to ask the question, you know, about the story about the shepherd that goes after the lost sheep. Good one, you know, he leaves the 99 and he goes out and he looks for the one. And over the many thousands of years, you know, many artists have kind of painted this. I don't know if you've seen any of them. It's always like very dramatic. You know, the sheep is on the way down a cliff and the shepherd has kind of just got all of it there or something like that. It's kind of very risk. And, you know, the shepherd is really putting his life at risk for that one. But what Yonkel from HQ always asks, what happens to the 99 while the shepherd is going after that one? And I thought, wow, that's a good question. You know, isn't it a bit irresponsible? You know, just kind of leaving everybody and putting the 99 at risk. But the cool thing is, and what his reply always is, that if we understand how the heart of the shepherd works, then that if it comes to the place in that specific example that the shepherd is after the one, that the 99 look out. They don't look after themselves, they look out for one another. There's a difference there. We actually can care for one another. So each of us, if you are in a body of believers, have a role of a shepherd in some way or another. And one thing that really struck me, that Pastor Sias shared with me many years ago, you know Pastor Sias, he's a very much an evangelist, always ready to preach. He's at the moment, I think they're going to be in 5 nations in 6 days or something ridiculous. They're all over in Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand and whatever, you know, I don't know what else. But, you know, always on a mission somewhere. But what he mentioned, what really struck me, is he said that it doesn't matter if you're the greatest evangelist or if you're called to be a prophet to the nations and you know in your heart that one day you will speak words over nations and, you know, the Lord will confirm your words through earthquakes and whatever, big, mighty, powerful, whatever. He says, whatever your call is, whatever your anointing is, each of us need to have a heart of a shepherd. We need to understand the love of the Father for the sheep and the love of God for people. Because none of those giftings can operate outside of love. And if we look at Paul explaining, you know, not only the fivefold giftings, but the spiritual gifts in general. He starts, you know, when he writes to the Corinthians, and he explains. He just kind of gives an introduction, and these are the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and then he puts a very important chapter 13 there, it's called 1 Corinthians 13, and he spends a whole chapter. Well, it's now a chapter, but a whole bit of this letter, explaining that these gifts only operate in the order of God if they operate out of love, out of that compelling love that he writes about. That, you know, he says if you have all these things and you don't have love, then it's like it's empty, useless. And then he carries on with the gifts and he explains how they work in the context of a family, of a body, and how each plays his part. So even there we see this very important thing, that even whatever your anointing, whatever you're gifting, we need to understand, we need to connect with the heart of God to shepherd and to love people. People in church, people out of church, wherever. Okay, so again we see in a church environment, everyone has got a role, a shepherding role. Okay, and I want to really encourage you guys. We're in a season, as you know, where everybody's getting involved, and it's really blessed to see people, you know, finding a spot and finding a place where they can kind of minister. But wherever you find a place in church, and I'm going to encourage you to seek that. If you, you know, to be involved on Sundays, to be involved in small group. And that's also part of the thing that we trust for when we're shepherding, is we trust God for growth. This year I've trusted God in these ways, I've stretched my faith. Next year I want to pray around which areas should I trust God to grow into. As a disciple, as somebody that's being shepherded, but also as someone that shepherds others. But wherever you are, whatever, I want to encourage you to trust God to find that place where you can minister, where you can be a blessing to someone, where you can minister in that heart of a shepherd. Okay, it can be, it doesn't matter if it's in the hosting or the hospitality or in small group. Like I said, wherever your gifting is, there's a shepherding part of it. Okay, all right. So we have a confidence in the chief shepherd that the sheepfold that he puts us in is a safe place. Okay? The confidence is not necessarily in the local shepherd. The confidence stays in the chief shepherd, that he knows what he's doing. Okay? And he's the one that ultimately lays down his life, and he has laid down his life for us. We can trust him for protection. We can trust him for provision. We can trust him for restoration and healing. We can trust him for his guidance and his direction. Even correction. But all of that can happen in a safe place that he has provided for us in the local sheepfold. And when our confidence is in the chief shepherd, we don't have to go and look for, you know, all kinds of different solutions to the struggles we go through, because we know the provision for that the shepherd has made is here. It's in the sheepfold. And we can trust him for that. Are you with me? Okay, let's see why is it necessary to have a shepherd? Why is it necessary to have protection? Why is it necessary to have all these things in place? If you want to read with me from 1 Peter 5. From this verse 8 there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this is not meant to bring fear, but it's really something that just struck me again this week. I saw it so clearly that there is an adversary out there. We have an enemy. He's called the enemy of our souls. And he's out to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, just a little bit, we'll read a bit of John 10 in a bit. But Jesus is very clear. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But he's very clear also. He says, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And it's a reality. And often, you know, we kind of get, well, whatever type of thing. But I want to say to you, I've experienced this firsthand when, in a period of my life where I was between churches, and you know, obviously there's grace when you move, and I moved from South Africa to here. It was way 11 years ago, and I was working in the city, looking for church type of thing. But I experienced that after a while, I felt, okay, now I need to make a decision now, because this isn't great anymore, this isn't blessed anymore, because now I could feel the effect of being outside of the sheepfold. I could feel I need to have a covering now. I need to be under a protection of a local shepherd, of a local sheepfold. I needed to come into the local body to experience these incredible blessings that we've just been chatting about. And but the reality is sometimes, you know, some of the sheep, we had sheep in our small holding growing up once or twice, not for long periods. It was just too much of a mission. But, unfortunately, it's not a great compliment being compared to sheep. I don't know if you've had any dealings with sheep personally. but not the most intelligent beings I've found. But let's focus on the shepherd tonight. Okay, let's not be offended by the comparison. But the reality is, what you know, that you don't see a Lone Ranger sheep. Have you been on the countryside here in England? Have you ever seen the sheep doing its own thing out there? Lone Ranger, solo sheep. Not really. Sheep do stuff together, okay? They always like flock together, even when they're running and they're going, you know, ballistic or panicking. They kind of bunch together. And whether it's clever or not, that, you know, that's how God has designed us to be, to work together, to kind of to cover one another and to look out for one another. So don't do. If you know somebody that's doing the Lone Ranger sheep thing, encourage them. The shepherd, the chief shepherd, has got a local safe place for them where they can experience that dynamic protection, correction, all the blessings coming together. Talking about the sheep and the wolves and the things. You know, sometimes we think, no, we can handle it. We kind of play with the wolf, we play with the lion, and we think, no, we're kind of in control. And when you look again, you've lost a limb, or you damaged, or you're injured. A friend of mine nearly lost his leg this week with a shark attack. Some of you might have seen it in the news there. Where was it? Stillbar somewhere. Hectic, you know. The shark grabbed him and shook him like a rag doll, and he almost pulled his leg off. And then he was circling, you know, looking for the next, coming in for the next round. And then this huge wave just came, and he was able to paddle out. Miracle, seriously, and he didn't lose his leg. But often we like that, you know. The reality of the enemy that is circling, and this is not the be very afraid story. This is just the reality of the adversary that we have, and the fact that if you and I think we can be the Lone Ranger and do our own thing outside of the protection that God has made provision for, we're gonna come short. Okay, and I mean, there's grace for this, but He has provided a safe place for us, a safe place where we can be nurtured, where we can be corrected, where we can grow, and where His provision and His direction is so clear. Okay. Now, in order to kind of facilitate this protection, the shepherd has been very clever, and he has implemented some access control. Okay, this is very important these days. You guys know, in some of your workplaces, they do the retina scans and the thumb, this and the prints and this and that. Very serious security. But let's just read from John 10 about the access control here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So we there see this very powerful picture of the protection and the fact that there's the door to the sheep, and there's a door into the place of protection that God has prepared for us. Now, apparently, I don't know if you heard in the news this week, but apparently there's a bit of a chaos going on with the security around the Olympics. But don't panic. The army is on standby, and they're coming in to sort it out. It's a bit embarrassing because this is a huge global security company, and they apparently dropped the ball quite badly. But, you know, it's funny how, especially when you fly these days, I mean, there's some serious security stuff going on. I think it's obviously after all the bombs and things. But, you know, everybody just kind of accepts this as one of those things. You take off your belt and your shoes, and you walk through security like this, and you kind of... And that moment that you have to lift up your arms, you know, it's just kind of, you pray for grace. You know, isn't it bad that they combine those two? The moment that you don't have, a belt on, now you have to go like this, and it's just wrong. Any case. But everybody kind of just accepts it as one of those things. It's not comfortable. It's very irritating. It slows everything down. But everybody kind of understands that these things are in place for our protection. These things are in place so that we're not going to be blown to smithereens in the sky or something like that. I watched the sort of a comedy once, and the guy, it was a military thing, and the guy asked his commanding officer, what is the procedure when stepping on a landmine? So he says, the procedure is that you throw yourself several hundred meters into the air and scatter yourself over a large area. Any case. But yeah, so the point is we understand why these things are in place, and we kind of just deal with it. But in the kingdom, often when we experience protocol like this, we find it difficult. But the reality is, if we understand the heart of the shepherd, and if we understand where this is coming from, and we understand, okay, this is love talking now, then it's easier for us to operate and to walk into what he has prepared for us. And we spoke about the queen last week, about protocol and visiting the queen or whatever, and there will be security there. I can guarantee you that there will be protocol. There will be specific places you have to go and specific entrances you need to use. You can try climbing in through the window of Buckingham Palace, but I doubt you'll get that far. I remember when I was in the Air Force, we also had our turn, looking, being the officer on duty, kind of being in charge of the security, well, not security, but being checking that the base is okay type of thing. And a bit scary if you think, I was like 20 or something now, in charge of the base type of thing. It was only at night, don't worry, nothing serious. But I remember the one guy, a more senior officer, this was on the army side, he had to go around and check up on the guards and check up on the guys around the specific military base. And so he thought he's going to be funny, or he's going to catch them out. So he was trying to climb over the fence and catch them off guard type of thing. But as luck would have it, they weren't off guard. They were quite on, ready. But the problem was that he was from a different base and they didn't know him. Or the guy that caught him, he was on the fence, right at the top. And when he asked for identification, he stopped him there and he said, okay, freeze type of thing. And then when he asked for identification, for some reason, this officer didn't have his identification with him, which wasn't a very clever thing. So he had him sit there the whole night on the fence, and it was raining as well. And this guy is a troop, okay, he has no rank. This guy on the fence is some colonel or something. But he's in any case, funny story, but he sat there and he couldn't do a thing, and he had to, in any case. So the point is, if you don't come through the gate, if you don't come through the main entrance, and you go through all the things that you need to go through, all the procedures and protocol, you will be treated with suspicion. Okay, in the same way, God has put things in place that we as a local body, and you and your family and your home can create a safe place, that this is a safe environment for my children. This is a safe environment for us as believers, as a family, to live and to grow in. If you think about my little girl, Abigail, okay, she's almost one, if you didn't know, 31st, okay? At 11:30 at night. It's just touch and go, okay? But she's going to have her first birthday. But you know what? We watched this movie this weekend called Courageous. And I don't often recommend movies from the pulpit, but this one I can recommend. So I've actually bought a copy for the church. So if you want to watch it in small group or as outreach, you're welcome to do that. But also, this principle is very well illustrated there. But this whole, I can imagine now, you've seen Abigail, she's beautiful, right? Don't say I'm biased, Josh, I know just what you're thinking. But you can see she's going to be as beautiful as a mom and even more when she grows up. And I can just imagine already those young men coming around and wanting to, you know, spend time with her. And you know what, guys? There will be some protocol. There will be... I will receive them, but they'll have to come in through the door. And they'll have to come and speak to me first. Are you with me? There's no parking in the street and pushing the hooter and waiting for it to come. No, there's nothing like that. There's no chance. There's not even a going for a walk somewhere. This is not really a date. Nothing like that. I remember when I went to speak to Arnaz, Arnaz's dad. Now, Arnaz had one or two high school boyfriends before I came along. But I don't think he expected this. So I sat down with him and I explained what my intentions were, you know, where I was going with this thing. And I just kind of basically asked him. And I could see he was a little bit surprised, but he was very blessed. And I didn't have any problems, so I can recommend. But you know, that's godly order right there. And the same will happen in my house one day. And that's the same thing where you and I, as a head of our home, need to draw a line and say, this is the area, this is the house that God has blessed me with, this is my space. And I will draw a line. I will say, this is off limits to the enemy. This is holy ground. This place is safe for my family and for my children. And in the same way, as we, as a local sheepfold, and as a small group, wherever you are, if you you know, involve the shepherding in that way, then you can say, listen, this is this area that God has entrusted to me, I'm going to make sure it's safe. And if anything tries to come in other than the way that we have established or the way that is safe for the sheep, it's going to be a problem. Are you with me, Saul? Okay, now in church, obviously, there are not many much protocol and stuff like that. But I remember coming into Shofar and they had these foundations, these spiritual growth series that we call it now. And I've been saved for a while, I've been water baptized and spirit filled and everything. And I was like, yeah, you know, obviously I know all that stuff. But that was the door. If I wanted to be part of the family, this is the door, this is how you come in. No, the window's not gonna work. This is how you come in. And you know what? What a blessing. Because that is the way that was there and that is the way you come in, and there was incredible blessing on it. And I can tell you now, it was life-changing. But that principle remains, that if we understand, this is a protection that's happening here. It's a place, it's a safe place. And sometimes it's not comfortable. I'm not saying it's the comfortable place, okay? But if you and I are place ourselves where God has called us to be in the local sheepfold, that is the safest place for us. It might look more comfortable, and the grass might look a bit greener that side. But if that's where the lions are operating and the wolves are running around, it's not going to be blessed. Even though it's maybe not as comfortable here, because of correction and because of all kinds of iron sharpening happening, that is still the safest place you and I can find ourselves in. Are you with me? Okay. And then very importantly, we see at the end of the scripture, you see, we see where he talks about the sheep knowing the voice of the shepherd. And he mentions here, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So this is the key for us. If we know the voice of the shepherd, again, we're going to have that confidence. Yes, this is the sheepfold where I must be. Yes, this is the family God has placed me in. So I'm going to firstly recognize the shepherd, the local shepherd, or whether it's a small group facilitator, whether it's the person in charge of the shine happening next door, wherever that little bit of shepherding is happening, whether I'm being the shepherd or whether I'm being shepherded, I'm going to understand, okay, this is how God has put it together, and it's His love manifesting right here, and it's His provision happening, and it's His correction that's happening, it's His direction that is happening here. And we're going to receive it as a blessing. Okay. And in terms of us as a family, there's really a place where I believe God is wanting to give us a boldness and a confidence. And firstly, in Him being the chief shepherd, But then also knowing, okay, as Paul writes, he says to the, you know, the guys he's writing, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Boldness, he says, he's confident because he knows who he's following. He's got a confidence, listen, if you follow me, because I'm following the chief shepherd, you're going to be okay. Now, what a blessing if you can say to your family, guys, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So I'm following hard after God. I'm running after the chief shepherd. And if you stay with me, if you follow, if you do as I do, you're going to be fine. And there's a confidence in that, but there's a blessing and there's a provision for us as we step into that place that He has prepared for us. And then there's also, in terms of us, you know, caring for one another, you know, the 99, each of us having a bit of a shepherd role and walking in accountability, watching out for one another. I want to encourage us there, you know, as is in a family environment, you know, if that young man comes and wants to chat to Abigail, or if maybe we have a boy one day, and I have to explain a few things, there's going to be some difficult conversations. There's going to be some straight talk. But you know what? That is, again, I'm creating a safe environment for my children to grow and to flourish into what God has prepared for them. And if I see that there's an influence that's wanting to come, an influence, a bad influence that's wanting to come into my children's lives, then I will step in and I will remove that influence. Because that is what God has called me to be, to remove and to make sure that they grow up in a safe place. Are you with me still? So sometimes we're going to have to be bold with one another. We're going to have to say, listen, Hanku, that influence, you know, those TV series that you watch, what's it, Desperate Housewives, you know, every weekend, just joking. But whatever, you know, if I notice something, I can go to Hanku and say, Hanku, I love you, man. Let's just talk about this. But if I don't care about him, I'm not gonna make the effort. And I believe God is calling us to a place of boldness in our small groups, where we can look out for one another and we can say, listen, what's happening? How are you doing? Ask the difficult questions. Care for one another in a real way. Care for one another to a place where it's not always comfortable, but to a place where we know, okay, this is the love of God manifested. And knowing that as we're walking in that, that there will be grace for us. As we're walking in that, there will be provision for us to minister to one another in a love that is real. Still awake? Still listening? Okay. So look out for that. We're going to be chatting more about this in the weeks to come. I'm really trusting God for us to step into that boldness. It's really, it's an anointing and it's in the provision that God has already prepared for us. That place of accountability. Read with me from Hebrews 13. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I'm just going to touch on these scriptures, 13:7-9 and 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So there is a place where we, you know, have a relationship with those who have put in authority over us. And there's a place where we can see the fruit in each other's lives, and we can look, you know, it's not a long distance thing. There is a relationship. Okay, then so Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Obey those, and then a little bit further, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we see a few key things here. Okay, we see he's speaking about those that have been placed in a kind of authority over us, whether that be in a family environment, whether it be socially, whether it be in a workplace or spiritually. But specifically, the context is, we have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So he's saying there's a relationship happening, there's a place where we can see the fruit in each other's lives, where we can walk into that place of accountability. And then again, he looks to the thing that is constant. He says, this is kind of, he puts it right in there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The chief shepherd doesn't change. He's solid. He's you know, he doesn't change his mind. We can look to him. We can follow him boldly. Okay. And then he carries on. He says, you know, because he's the same, we can notice when there's all kinds of funny things happening. Do not be carried about with various doctrines and funny things. And that's, I want to encourage you guys, that's what happens when we're there on the side of the sheepfold, there when it's dangerous, you know, we're kind of almost doing the Lone Ranger thing. Then the voice of the shepherd becomes softer as we move away, and we hear all kinds of other things. It's like in your mobile phone. If you're struggling with reception, you need to move. Yeah, in the UK it's not such a problem, but I remember in Africa or in India, you know, sometimes you have to do incredible funny things to be able to get to a place where there is indeed a signal. If you're experiencing that, if you are struggling to hear the shepherd, I want to say to you, you need to move closer to the shepherd. It's simple. If you can't hear anymore, you need to move until you can hear. Are you with me? In other words, don't stay there where there's no signal. Okay, that's not good. But trust God to move to a place where the voice of the shepherd is clear again. But it's sort of funny. Sometimes the word is very straight and kind of very strong. But yeah, it says very subtly, for that will be unprofitable for you. Okay, so it's not profitable to give the people grief that have been put over you. So whether it's your small group facilitator or your parents, this is a good scripture to give to your children quite regularly. Okay? Let them do so with joy. Let them be parents with joy, not with grief. Because that will be unprofitable. Okay? But very powerful, yeah. It's not only, this is not something to be taken lightly. Okay? The role of a shepherd, the role of even whether it's in a small group context or, you know, whatever ministry you're in, there will be a place where we held accountable. We will have to give account. And this is not something to be afraid of, but it's a sober thing. Okay, to say, okay, I have to depend on the true shepherd. I have to depend on the chief shepherd. I have to put my trust in him so that I don't mess up the sheep. Okay? Okay. So we will give an account. And then I want to close with Hebrews 13, verse 20. 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He is the one that's faithful to complete the work. He is the one, the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the one that we look to. He is the one that we put our trust in. He is the one that we put our confidence in to complete the work that he started in us. Whether you are playing a role, where you are being a co-laborer with Christ, where you are, whatever role you're fulfilling, look to him and he will be the one that fulfills it. He will be the one that completes it. He's faithful to finish that. But the provision that he has made for us is in a certain context. You know, the shepherd will run after that one sheep, but if that sheep really wants to, it can run, it can outrun the shepherd. If the sheep really wants to, it can run off a cliff somewhere. Okay? So there is a place where you and I need to position ourselves to say, okay, this is the safe place. This is the place of the order that God has. These are the place. Let's go through the door. Let's stick to his order. Let's position ourselves to be in that safe place where we can grow, in the safe place where we can be corrected and we can be challenged and also where we can be celebrated and where we can be, you know, blessing of us. If you can stand with me tonight, we're just going to pray together. Okay, so tonight, I really trust that, like I said, we'll chat about some more of these things over the next few weeks. But there's an excitement in my spirit, an expectation that we're going to learn, we're going to get to know the heart of the shepherd in a different way. We're going to get to know that passionate, jealous love that God has for us, for people, for those that are in the family, in the sheepfold, but also those that are not yet. And just the, that place of, and I really trust that for us to just enter into that place of boldness, where we can say, okay, Lord, this is not comfortable right now. The correction bit is not nice, or sometimes the changing direction is not easy. But, okay, Lord, I put my trust in the chief shepherd. I put my trust in where He's taking us. And in the same way, what that means for us as we shepherd others, as we look out for one another, as we cover one another, okay? And I want to encourage you guys, if there's a grace in this season to, if you notice something or if you see something in your brother or sister's life, to just to step out there, to have the difficult conversations. There's a grace for us to walk in the light. As we are encouraged to walk in the light as He is in the light. But there's also a boldness to walk in His purpose together. So the difference with about a sheepfold is the one we're in is going somewhere. Okay, the shepherd has got a mission and he's got a purpose. And we grow with him. We grow in it as we pursue that purpose. So in small groups, we're also going to look at the ways we can, see, okay, Lord, what am I trusting you for? How am I going to grow in Christ this year? I'm going to, take a step forward in my relationship with God. But there's a liberty because we've got our confidence in Him. We've got our confidence in the chief shepherd. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can, tonight, I thank you, God, just for a confidence in our hearts, Lord, that you are the chief shepherd of the sheep, Lord. You are the great shepherd, as Hebrews says, Lord. And indeed, Lord, we see your love manifest and that you've truly laid down your life for the sheep, God, for us, for the whole of humanity. And Lord, tonight we thank you, God, that even as we take our place in the local sheepfold, even as we experience your abundance of grace in our families, Lord, and being parents and being parents to be one day, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for a boldness to step into the provision that you have made for us. To create a safe place, Lord, to draw a line, to create a hedge of protection where we know the enemy will not come in, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for the safe place, Lord. We thank you for the body of believers that you've blessed us with, God. I thank you, Father, for us to, as we walk this road together, Lord, I thank you for a new boldness, Father, to watch out for one another. Lord, that we will not be so focused on our own things that we're struggling for about, Lord, that we won't notice somebody next to us being taken out by a lion or by a wolf or something. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a love between us, Lord, to a bold love, God, to watch out for one another, Lord, and to truly to act as shepherds towards one another as well, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not on our own strength. I thank you for the provision that you've made, that you've truly given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And tonight we boldly ask, Lord, that by your perfect love, you would cast out any fear in us, God, in the name of Jesus. Any fear of man. Any fear, Lord, that where our society wants to tell us we don't have a right to say anything about what I do, Lord. That we have this pride that we see in society that I do what I want and nobody can tell me otherwise. Lord, and I pray that you soften our hearts, that we would be teachable, that we will be open to hear from brothers and sisters, Lord. Open to hear, open for correction, open to receive as you direct us, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your kingdom that is being established in and through us. And we ask even this week, Lord, that you would glorify your name in and through us, God. You would show us those around us that we can minister to or that we need to shepherd, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us the heart of the shepherd, Father. That you give us the heart of the bold shepherd that risks his life for those that you love, for those that you've died for, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.